Radio Prague News.
The European Commissioner for Consumers wants the double standard of food products in the EU to be put on the list of illegal business practices. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš has ordered an audit into state finances spent on research, and the Czech Republic is on the brink of a flu epidemic. The European Commissioner for Justice, Consumers and Gender Equality, Věra Jourová, wants the double standard of food products in the European Union to be put on the list of illegal business practices in the EU. This means that consumers would be in a position to sue a company over the practice. The list is to be reviewed by the Commission in April. Meanwhile, a special working group made up of representatives from 15 EU member states is working on a control mechanism which would gradually root out the practice. The outgoing Prime Minister Andrej Babiš has ordered an audit into the state finances channeled into research programs and the country's leading research centers. The Prime Minister announced the decision following a meeting of the government's Council for Research, Development and Innovation. Mr. Babiš said that subsidies and grants were handed out from 15 different budgetary sources and that some of them overlapped. The Prime Minister also wants to check out the financial management of the country's research centers, which received more than 44 billion crowns in recent years. The health authorities have warned that the Czech Republic is on the brink of a flu epidemic. A fast spread of the disease has been registered in all regions of the country, and many hospitals and old age homes have closed their doors to visitors. 6 people have already died of flu-related complications, and 33 are getting treatment in intensive care. The central bank on Friday raised its forecast for the 2018 public sector surplus to 1.6% of the GDP from an earlier estimate of 1.4%. The bank improved its outlook for 2019. With the surplus of 1.8% from a previous forecast of 1.5%, the bank increased its expectation for 2017 public debt to 34.7% of the GDP from 33.8%. Speaker of the Senate Milan Štěch will be the highest Czech official to represent the country at the upcoming Winter Olympics in South Korea, the CTK news agency reported on Friday. Mr. Štěch will officially open the Czech house at the Winter Olympics and support the Czech team in the first few days of the Games. Neither the president nor members of the cabinet will travel to South Korea due to the ongoing talks on forming a new government. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Saturday should be cloudy to overcast around the country with scattered snow showers and day temperatures between 0 and 4 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, Hungary's Minister of Foreign Affairs highlights the value of the Visegrad Alliance on a visit to Prague. Czech fathers win the right to take a week off work on the birth of a child. And later, we'll take you on a skiing trip to two resorts near Snieżka, the country's highest mountain. All that's coming up in today's program. The Czech Foreign Minister Martin Stropnický welcomed his Hungarian counterpart Peter Szijjártó in Prague on Thursday for talks focusing on European issues, the Visegrad Group and bilateral cooperation. It was their first meeting since Minister Stropnický took up his post in the new Czech government. Daniela Lazarová has more.
One of the main messages to come out of the talks was the two sides' strong commitment to regional cooperation within the Visegrad Group. Minister Stropnický said it was important that the regional grouping show initiative and present its own solutions to EU problems.
That's something we definitely must do together to give proposals to the problems, which are so many in the Union. It doesn't, you know, I don't like labeling. I don't like Eastern members. I don't like X satellites and these labelings. I really don't like. we are sovereign, we are democratic, we are doing well as far as economic situation is concerned. And so I think that we have the full right of our say, of our opinion, to express it in a decent way, decent but strong, explicit, clear, and to try to reach a consensus.
Foreign Minister Siarto, whose country currently presides over the Visegrad Group, made up of the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Hungary and Poland, thanked the Czech Republic for its support on migration. He said the divisive issues in the EU heighten the significance of regional cooperation.
Well, I can tell you that the Visegrad cooperation definitely became a brand. And Visegrad Group is the most effective and the tightest alliance within the European Union. The cooperation within the group is tighter and more effective than ever. I can say that without an exaggeration. This is a cooperation and alliance based on common sense and rationality, which is the most important issue now. Because during these historic challenges ahead of the European Union, debates in EU go very easily in an emotional way. And if you have emotional and stigmatizing type of debates, you will not come to a conclusion definitely. And that's why it's very important. And the Visegrad Group represents common sense and rationality in this regard. And this common sense and rationality gives the hope to the European Union as well to be able to overcome the challenges ahead of us.
The two foreign ministers also devoted time to bilateral cooperation and potential for further development. Foreign Minister Siarto had high praise for the Czech Republic's economic successes.
We always admired the Czech economy, and we always set targets to have the level of standards of the Czech economy when it comes to unemployment rate, when it comes to the level of employment. I can proudly say that we are closer and closer. And we wish all the best for the Czech economy, because the success of one of the four countries always gives a positive impetus to the other three. So although there's a competition among us, of course, because we are similar kind of economies, but in the meantime, we strengthen each other in a very strong way.
And that report was by Daniela Lazareva. Now, as of the 1st of February, Thursday, fathers in the Czech Republic can officially take a week of paid leave from work following the birth of their child. Until now, dads were forced to take days out of their holiday time or make other arrangements. Jan Wellinger has the story.
Having a child is obviously a life-changing moment for any parent, and while the postnatal period is both physically and emotionally demanding, it is, of course, also very rewarding. Many fathers these days are present at the birth of their child and until now could count on being back at their job early the next day, unless they were willing to give up their own holiday time or reach a special arrangement with their employer to take unpaid time off. That is now different, given new legislation which has taken effect. As of now, fathers will be covered under an amendment meaning they can take 7 days paid leave within 6 weeks of their child's birth. The six-week postnatal period is an important rest period in which moms should receive maximum support and also be able to bond with their baby. It's never easy. Many of us have heard about how sleeping patterns are heavily disrupted or about the general lack of sleep. And the reason the amendment was made was to allow fathers to help out, to be close to their partner, and of course to bond with their child. In short, it is a huge psychological boost. Petr is a Prague resident who has applied. He spoke with Czech Radio.
I decided to apply because I could. I'm a regular employee and we will sort things out with an email to human resources. My boss already knows about everything, so I hope it will all work out. My wife is glad that I'll be at home. Having a baby will mean me being around more at last. Having a week paid while saving a week's vacation is a nice bonus.
While parents are no doubt welcoming the change, the new opportunity, the finance ministry has taken a somewhat different view. Spokesman Jakub Winterlich explains.
This change will raise spending in the state budget by £1 billion and will place additional burdens on employers and social security. The ministry considers other means of support already in place for families to be more effective.
The paid leave for fathers is actually a form of sick leave, as odd as that may sound. What that means is that the week is not fully paid. The applicant is docked some funds, earning 70% of what he would normally get. Even then, many fathers probably would say that the week off was worth it.
That report was by Jan Wellinger. And now we're off in the company of Jan on a trip to two skiing resorts near Snieżka, the country's highest mountain.
Ski hills in the Czech Republic had reason to be quite happy last year, seeing lots of snow and consequently a strong boost in business. So far, this season isn't shaping up too badly, although there isn't snow in Prague, there is in the mountains. And Radio Prague took the opportunity to hit the slopes at two of five hills run by operator Megaplus SRO. And these are the well-known Černá Hora and Petspodsněžko, located in the Krkonoše Mountains. Our day began at Černá Hora, which means Black Mountain in Czech, at the edge of popular spa town Janské Lázně. Zina Plchová, in charge of media and marketing for the operator, was kind enough to show us around so we would know what to expect.
Tuto chvíli jste na vrcholu Černé hory v Krkonoších, ve východních Krkonoších.
Right now we're at the top of Černá Hora in the eastern Krkonoše Mountains. This hill is a cornerstone of the Černá Hora Peč Resort, the largest of its kind in the Czech Republic, offering 44 kilometers of trails. The resort is actually five hills, which are all connected either by 12 ski bus routes or by our fleet of tracked vehicles. In practice, you can start your day here at Černá Hora, ski, and later take a tracked vehicle over to Petspodsněžko for a total of 30 kilometres of available and well-groomed runs.
And the tracked vehicles, as you can hear a bit of there, are constant near the top of the mountain, arriving every 15 minutes or so. And they can transport 20 passengers at a time and drop them at the head of the second resort, which she mentioned, Petspodsněžko, where you then ski down. Ms. Plchová again.
It's fair to say that we want to compete or offer an alternative to mid to large size resorts in Austria. Our hills are not as high as the Alps, of course, but they are among the highest in the Czech Republic. Traditionally, Černá Hora begins operations the earliest of all hills every season. It's also one of the last places still being skied when warm weather arrives.
Ski resort Černá Hora Pec sees around a million visitors a year. From that, around three quarters come for winter sports and activities. The rest come in the spring or summer, Ms. Blchová confirmed. Visitors can ski or likewise toboggan on the oldest sledding run in the Krkonoše Mountains.
Any visit should include trying the sled run. Some of you will be skiing today and others are going on the sleds. The run has a history which goes back more than 100 years. Originally, the trail was used to collect and transport wood and hay. A lot of people probably won't know that sledding predated skiing at Černá Hora and Janské Lázně. There was a tow here in 1913, which took sledders up for a 1 kilometre run. 3 years later, however, the copper wire which was used to take them was taken down for the war effort. In later years, skiing became more popular, but sledding has a special place here, and we still organise night sledding for families, for example, where sledders go on a day's last cable car with a guide to come down in the dark, equipped with headlamps. It is a really great experience. During the day, you can ski. You can have something at the Après Ski Bar here on top of the mountain. And in the late afternoon, you can sled. Alternatively, if you head over to Pets, you can go on a walking tour or, weather permitting, take the cable car to visit the Czech tallest mountain, Snezka.
Well, first on the agenda on our day was skiing at Černá Hora, a run, if I'm not mistaken, which was called Angel. That means angel.
So we began our day here at Černá Hora. We're now near the top of the mountain and about to go down.
And we spend the morning skiing at the site, and although it's midweek, the mountain is quite busy. Ski schools are out in force with smaller children as well as teens. The lines aren't too bad for the lifts, at least on the upper half of the slope. Because the weather is warm, we stay on the upper half rather than the bottom, where the snow is heavier and the waiting lines a little longer. Speaking of lines, a fair number of people at the top of the peak have been waiting for track vehicles to take them to Betz, and the group has grown too large to be dispatched quickly. Some say they've waited too long. Others say it's not as bad as it appears. One skier we spoke to, who gave his name as Ragim, said his family should probably have stayed on one of the smaller hills.
We were skiing on Upa earlier and there were fewer people, but we wanted to come up here because to see how nice it is. But at Cherna Hora we ended up getting only two runs in. I'll put it this way, there are just a lot of people on the slopes today.
Anyone who's, of course, had a ski week or skied for years knows how things can combine, how they can be different from one day to the next, that there are many different factors that play a role, even at the best of hills. The character is set by the weather, the number of visitors, visibility, snow quality, and just overall mood. And conditions vary from site to site, which is what we experienced when we made our way to the other side, to Betz-Podsnieszko. There, the mood was somewhat more laid back, despite a slalom race being organized for juniors. More than a few people told us they were glad they'd been able to escape to the mountains, some traveling from as far away as 600 kilometers.
We came for the skiing and we've had a look around and gotten a feel for the slopes. It's quite warm. Hopefully the snow won't melt. I have to admit that we're in Petz for the first time. It has been a little warm. 4 or 5 degrees above zero is pretty mild for January. But it was supposed to get colder starting tomorrow.
We are from Poland and we are here for a vacation and for skiing.
And it's close by for you, obviously.
No, not so close because we are from Poland, but from the northern part, near the Baltic Sea.
Ah, okay.
So it's 600 kilometers, but it's for us it's the closest possibility for skiing. We are glad that we came here today, and yesterday is a little worse, but it's okay for skiing.
Well, you ride a snowboard, obviously. So what's better, snowboard or skis?
Snowboard. Snowboard is better.
Why?
I don't know. It's more fun.
And clicking out of the skis and walking into the town of Betz-Podsnieszko, population 600, you can see many parked cars, few of which probably actually belong to the locals. It's easy to understand why the town has been looking into ways to push cars out of the center and more onto the periphery through kind of park and ride systems. Mayor Alan Tomášek.
The ski resort business is a huge thing for the people of this town. It is a major factor in the local economy, providing employment and opportunities for the service sector, especially for accommodation. Both winter and summer are heavy seasons when it comes to visitors. In the summer, in some ways, it's more intense on nature because people come to hike and go on tours and so on. So that is something we have to consider and balance out. But I am thrilled Czechs are coming back to and enjoying the mountains. Our key upcoming projects within 2 years are to find better parking solutions. I'm not a fan of large parking areas in the middle of the mountains, and even having cars everywhere in the city centre is nothing nice. So we're looking into solutions which would make it easier for visitors to park further out. We're talking about space for 370 cars. Kapacitu těch 370 autoplusů, což velmi pomůže Peci.
And near the ski hill again, still more tracked vehicles zip by, sometimes also the occasional snowmobile. As the mayor says, this is a town which lives and breathes winter sport. That's something which was confirmed also by a young gentleman named Josef, or Pepa, owner of the aptly named Pepa Sports. His shop rents everything from ski equipment and snowshoes to so-called fat bikes and electronic fat bikes. They are capable of chewing up the snow and, in the summer, the dirt. He talks specifically about how electric bikes were becoming a game changer.
Ty lidi, kteří byli jakoby zatvrzelí sportovci, nebo ten sport měli tak nějak...
Even those who are die-hard mountain bikers and have resisted electrical bikes until the last minute changed their mind. The great thing about the electric fat bike is that it levels the playing field between riders. Less fit riders can switch to electric on hard climbs and still share the experience. So even those who are against changed their minds immediately after they tried it.
And I have to tell you that Beppo was kind enough to lend us one of those bikes. We tried it for the first time. I can confirm he is right. You don't have to switch. You can pedal uphill if you want to, but at the right moment, the electric thing works out quite finely. So the next time we report from the mountains, perhaps it won't be on skis, but in the saddle on some fine single track.
And that was Jan Wellinger there reporting from the mountains. Now, Daniela Lazarova joins us again with another episode of the series Hit of the Century.
Hit of the Century.
One of the most popular Prague theatres of the time was the Liberator Theatre, the home scene of the famous trio Voskovec, Verich, Ježek. They celebrated successes not only in the theatre, but also in film. For the year 1937, we offer you another of their successful marching songs, The World Belongs to Us. The song culminated in the making of a film by the same name, which was received with great enthusiasm by the public. Young people took a great liking to it at the time. However, while the democratic youth saw the text of the song as an expression of sympathy and fidelity to the Free Republic and its future, the communists interpreted the slogan "The world belongs to us" in their own way, as part of the ideological struggle and desired proletarian dictatorship. It should be noted, however, that while Voskovec, Verich and Ježek sympathized with the democratic left, they were never members of any party, least of all the Communist Party. One thing is for certain, the song "The World Belongs to Us" matched the atmosphere of the time, and it became a source of strength of all self-confident citizens of the Free Republic, who in 1937 already faced the danger of Hitler's expanding Nazism. Have a listen now to the marching song "The World Belongs to Us," sung by Voskovec and Verich.
Nikdy se nebudem mrazi míru bát. Pravda je s námi, však se dočkáte, že se nakonec my budem nejlíp smát. Svět patří nám, pro všechny dosti místa, jen za to vzít a plivnout do dlaní. Svět patří nám, a kdo je optimista, bez řečí půjde s námi bez dlaní. Svůj život utrácí, kdo se bojí snad jít s námi za práci, za mír bojovat, protože svět patří nám, pro všechny dosti místa, jen za to vzít a plivnout do dlaní.
That was my colleague Daniela Lazareva with another song in our series Hit of the Century, and we'll have more of that next week. But that's all we have time for right now, folks, from Radio Prague. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening, and goodbye.